नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् दैवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासाम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नस्तप्रयेषु भवद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भागवते उत्तमाश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिति. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Text Number 22. Prahava Abhivadana Ashlesha Karasparsha Smita Ikshanai Ashvashya Cha Ashvapak Kebya Varai Cha Abhimatai Vibhu Pravab Prabhavivadana ki Prabhavivadana Shlesha Prabhavivadana Shlesha Prabhavivadana Shlesha
Prabhavivadana Shlesha
Karasparsha. Karasparsha. Karasparsha Smitikshanai.
Karasparsha Smitikshanai.
Karasparsha Smitikshanai.
Karasparsha Smitikshanai.
Ashvashya chasvapakebhyo
Ashvashya chasvapakebhyo
Varaisya bhimataya vibhu
Varaisya bhimataya vibhu
Varaisya bhimataya vibhu
Varaisya bhimataya vibhu
Prabhavivadana Shlesha
Prabhavivadana Shlesha
Prabhavivadana Shlesha
Prabhavivadana Shlesha
Karasparsha Smitikshanai
Karasparsha Smitikshanai
Ashvashya Ashvashya Chasvapakebhyo
Ashvashya
Ashvashya chasvapakebhyo
Ashvashya chasvapakebhyo
Varaischa bhimater vibhu
Varaischa bhimater vibhu
Varaischa bhimater vibhu
Varaischa bhimater vibhu
Prabhavivadana shlesha
Prabhavivadana shlesha
Karasparsha smitekshanai
Karasparsha smitekshanai
Ashvashya chasvapakebhyo
Ashvashya chasvapakebhyo
Varaischa bhimater vibhu
Varaischa bhimater vibhu
Prabhavivadana Vibhadana Ashlesha
Prabhavivadana Ashlesha
Prabhavivadana Ashlesha
Prabhavivadana Ashlesha
Karasparsha Smitekshanai
Karasparsha Smitekshanai
Ashvashya Chasvapakebhyo
Ashvashya Chasvapakebhyo
Varaischa Bhimater Vidhu
Varaischa Bhimater Vidhu
By bowing his head.
By bowing his head.
Abhivadana,
Abhivadana,
by greeting with words,
by greeting with words.
Aslesha,
Aslesha,
embracing,
embracing.
Karasparsha,
Karasparsha,
shaking hands,
shaking hands.
Smita ikshanai,
Smita ikshanai,
by a glancing smile,
by a glancing smile.
Ashvashya,
Ashvashya,
by encouragement,
by encouragement.
Cha,
cha,
and
hand.
Ashvapakebhya,
Ashvapakebhya,
down to the lowest rank of dog eaters,
down to the lowest rank of
God
eaters.
Varai,
by benediction,
cha,
also.
Abhimatai,
as desired by.
Vibhu, the Almighty. Yeah, thank you. Translation. The Almighty Lord greeted everyone present by bowing his head, exchanging greetings, embracing, shaking hands, looking and smiling, giving assurances and awarding benedictions, even to the lowest in rank. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. To receive the Lord Sri Krishna, there were all grades of population, beginning from Vasudeva, Ugrasena and Gargamuni, the father, grandfather and teacher, down to the prostitutes and chandalas who are accustomed to eat dogs. And every one of them was properly greeted by the Lord in terms of their rank and positions. As pure living entities, all are the separated parts and parcels of the Lord, and thus no one is alien by his eternal relation. Such pure living entities are graded differently in terms of contamination of the modes of material nature. But the Lord is equally affectionate to all his parts and parcels, despite material gradation. He descends only to recall these materialistic living entities back to the kingdom. And intelligent persons take advantage of this facility offered by the personality of Godhead to all living beings. No one is rejected by the Lord from the kingdom of God, and it remains for the living being to accept this or not. Om Ajnana Chimaranda Sya Janandana Shalakaya Chakasurubhidhanya Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Beva Chapatita Nam Pavani Dyo Vaishnavidyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Krishna's a description of Krishna's reception on his return to Dwarkapuri. All the inhabitants came to meet him. So Srila Prabhupada describes all different grades of people were there. From the highest, he mentions Krishna's father, grandfather, and teacher. Father, Vasudeva. Grandfather, Ugrasena. Teacher, Gargamuni or Gargacharya. So they were all there in Dwarka, and they all came to receive the Lord. But they were not the only ones who came. Also the prostitutes came. We heard about the prostitutes. They were also there to welcome Krishna. And then the Chandalas also. Chandalas means low class, untouchable kind of people. So they had all come to meet the Lord. And it's described how Krishna receives everyone. He reciprocates with everyone. Prabhupada says, according to their different contamination of the modes of material nature. So obviously the prostitutes and the chandalas, you know, they're a bit more contaminated by the modes of material nature than people like Gargacharya and Vasudeva and Ugrasena, than Krishna's intimate associates. There's Krishna's intimate associates and there's the other Dwarkabasis. So, although it's a holy dham, it doesn't mean everybody is on the same level. You know, they're all devotees, but there's different contamination of the modes of material nature, even in Dwarka Dham. The modes are affecting people in different ways. Still, we have to respect them all as Dhamvasis. Just like there are 10 offenses in chanting the holy name, there's also offenses to the Dhamvasis. So we should be very careful in dealing with the residents of the Dham. You know, we shouldn't think, oh, this person is just a chandala, or this woman, she's just some prostitute. You know, but they're all Dhamvasis. And we have to respect all the residents of the Dham properly. Even the dogs, even the pigs, the hogs in the Dham, and the trees. You know, they're all Dhamvasis. And they all have to be given proper respect. So that doesn't mean you have to embrace every hog in the street like you would embrace a Vaishnava. You don't have to go and offer your obeisances to the hogs and take the dust from their feet and put it all over your body, you know. Because, you know, there's different living entities in the Dham. They're all Dhamvasis and we offer our respect, we respect them, but we respect them in different ways according to their different situation within the modes of nature. So even in the Dham there's the influence of the modes of nature. These different living entities have different bodies. So Prabhupada points out, makes one important point here, very interesting point. He says that no one is rejected from the kingdom of God. You know, Krishna doesn't kick us out of the kingdom of God, but we ourselves, we choose. If we want to leave the kingdom of God, we have that free will. We have that independence. We're the marginal potency of the Lord. And if we want to leave the kingdom of God, He doesn't force us to stay here, or to stay with Him. There's that independence, the free will of the living entity. The loving relationship is there. But that loving relationship, Krishna reciprocates with us as we love Him. It's not that He loves us and, that He's, just only thinking about us all the time and we don't care about Him, but He will reciprocate. We read the other day how Krishna reciprocates with the impersonalists, that He will deal with them impersonally. Because they're impersonalists, so Krishna is also impersonal with them. But when a devotee is very personal with the Lord, then Krishna is also reciprocating. He's appreciating that personal dealing. So, the prostitutes and the chandalas and so on, they would see Krishna, their mood in receiving Krishna would be with more awe and reverence, and at a distance would not be so close naturally. But with his intimate devotees like Uddhava and Satyaki and Arjuna and Vasudeva, Devaki, like that, the intimate
family members and friends, personal friends, then Krishna will enjoy their embrace and he will have a much deeper affection for them. For the others, there will be smiling glances and exchanges in this way. So, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dvishostina kriya ye bhajanti tu mam bhakta mai teteshu chapyaham. Krishna says, I envy no one, I am equal to everyone. But still, whoever renders service to me is a friend, is in me, and I am in him. So Krishna's that mood of being equal to everyone. He's not envious of anyone. He sees everyone equally. But he has a special affection for those who are rendering service to him. So he has a special affection for all the Dambasis, for all Dwarkapuri Basis. He'll have a special love for them. But even in the Dwarkabasis, he will have special affection for those who are intimately engaged in his loving service. They're less affected by the modes of material nature. They have a personal relationship with the Lord. So this Prabhupada explains, just like a mother will love all children, naturally, they have affection for all children, but she has a special affection for her own children. So in the same way, the Lord is equal to everyone, but he has a special affection for those who are personally engaged in his service, who are engaged in personal dealings, who are worshipping him and with great love and affection and engaged in his personal service. He will have a natural special affection for these people. So this is all helping us to see the personal relationship which is there, that Krishna is a person and he reciprocates both personally and impersonally. As we relate to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. It is natural, you know, when somebody has some friendly dealing with you, then you have you feel some special affection, special friendship for them. And for others, you know, who are less personal with you, then you feel, you know, more distant. You don't feel so close to them. So this is all personal dealings. Krishna is a person. This is helping us to appreciate more and more how Krishna is a person. And we have to also develop our personal relationship with Krishna. We have to not just think of Krishna as some energy or light. We shouldn't think of God in some impersonal way. We shouldn't even, you know, we don't want to just think of Krishna as some awesome, fearsome figure that if you don't follow his instructions, then, you know, he may punish you or beat you or something. You know, and in this way we come with great awe and reverence and stand with fear before him, trembling. But we want to develop the mood of personal love, loving service with Krishna, and developing some intimate relationship with Krishna. So this is this is what Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. It's to inspire us to develop personal relationship with Krishna. We're hearing about Krishna and how Krishna deals with his different devotees and how much affection he has for his different devotees. And we should also want to develop this affection. Just like Satsvarupa Maharaj, Satsvarupa Das Goswami, in the early years before, just when he first became a devotee, he describes when he first became a devotee, he had a job, and Prabhupada told him keep the job because they needed his money to pay the rent for their place. He said, and later on, I'll tell you, you can give up your work. But in the beginning, he wanted Sarupa Maharaj to keep his job. And so he was working, and the salary was his rent, his wages were used to pay the rent for the building. And he used to go and buy mangoes for Prabhupada because he heard that Prabhupada likes mangoes. So he used to go and buy a mango for Prabhupada. And when Prabhupada would give the class, he would come and put this mango on Prabhupada's table. And Prabhupada said, as you love me, I will love you. You know, it's like there's a loving reciprocation. In the beginning, Prabhupada was going to give initiation. He was giving initiation, and I think Sarupa he thought he wasn't ready. He thought he wanted to wait, you know, like this. Then he took it the second time. I'm not sure, something like that. Anyway, you know, he was in the beginning a little cautious, but as he developed more confidence in his relationship with Prabhupada, he became more affectionate. And Prabhupada could feel it. And Prabhupada told him like that, when Sarupa Maharaj brought the mango, and then Prabhupada praised him, "Oh, very nice boy, thank you very much." And the devotees laughed. Some of them were laughing. They thought, "Oh, look, nice boy, you know." Yeah, they were kind of minimizing or joking, you know, they thought it was a joke. Okay. But Prabhupada corrected them and he said, this is nice. He said, this is loving relationship. I never had this in Cha'am, I don't know. Have to do with the air here in Beijing, in Bangkok rather. Okay, so this is what's happening here. Any questions on this verse? We see how Krishna is very perfect in his dealings when he would meet the Pandavas. Yudhisthira and Bhima are older in age to him, so he will bow to them. Arjuna is his same age, so Arjuna he will embrace. And Nakula and Sahadeva are younger than him, so they will come and they will bow to Krishna. In this way there will be, you know, according to, although they're all the Pandavas and they're all his great devotees, but they relate in different ways. Their relationship is not just cold, but you know, there's standards there, you know, according to Krishna's age, and then here in Dwarka, according to their different positions, and Prabhupada describes this, the different coverings of the modes of nature, how the different modes of nature are affecting people. So Krishna understands all of this, he relates to everyone accordingly, but he satisfies everyone. Everyone is pleased, you know. The Chandalas, they don't expect Krishna to come and embrace them. Neither do the prostitutes think Krishna is going to come and embrace them. But still, they love Krishna and they're happy just to see Krishna, and Krishna is happy to see them. You know, this is loving dealings. This is a loving exchange. Just like when Prabhupada would come, you know, when Prabhupada would come, the devotees would come from all over, you know, all the different other places, everybody would come, they all want to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would be happy to see everyone, and he would reciprocate with everyone according to their different positions and different coverings in the modes of nature. So it's very personal relationships. And we see Krishna is very personal. He's very personal in his dealings. Okay.
So in Dwaraka, all these different types of devotees were there, so they were not pure devotees, or they were covered with ornaments or something?
Well, I said they're Dambasis, you know, they're... We can't say everyone, but, you know, certainly they're all fortunate devotees because they have the opportunity to see Krishna. But just because they see Krishna doesn't mean they're pure devotees. So many demons saw Krishna. No, Krishna killed different demons. We can't say that to everyone. You know, they don't see Krishna as God. They see Krishna in some ordinary way. So the residents of Dwarka are all fortunate souls because they're living in the holy dham. Those who see Krishna, they're also not ordinary souls, they're very fortunate souls. Pure devotees, there's different levels of pure devotees. There's different kinds of pure devotees.
But only the pure devotees go back to God in the spiritual world, right? So they might be seeing God in the material world.
Prabhupada said everybody in ISKCON is a pure devotee because they're not doing sinful activities. Pure devotee means they're not doing sinful activities. But then, to go back to Godhead, you have to be completely free from all material desires. You have to have love. You have to have love for the Lord before you can go back to Godhead. Otherwise, you can't go back. Can we see every dog in the dham is a pure devotee? Prabhupada told us one time that sometimes yogis do some sin. Some person may be a devotee, but he may fall down, he may do something sinful, and so he will take birth in the form of an animal in the dham, and that will be his last birth before he goes back to Godhead. He has to take birth in the form of one of these hogs in the dham. So it doesn't mean that every hog in the dham is a sinful yogi. We don't. But we cannot understand who's going to go back to God. That's up to Krishna. Hare Krishna. That's up to Krishna who goes back to Godhead. But we should respect all the Dambasis, that's the point. We have to respect them, that they're not ordinary souls. If they're taken birth in the Dham, they're very fortunate. And if they're living in the Dham, they're very fortunate. Of course, some people are living in the Dham, but they don't see the Dham. They don't understand. They don't think they're in the Dham. They're not thinking in the Dham. For them, the Dham is covered. But here, at least 5,000 years ago, these Dhamvasis, they're not, you know, they're in the Dham. But Prabhupada mentions some will see the Lord as impersonalists, and there are chandalas and so on like that. So their covering is, you know, their covering is strong. So for them to go back to Godhead, you know, it might be not so easy. And of course, even dog eaters, they can also become spiritual masters, you know. doesn't mean they go on eating dog. You know, they're born in a family of dog eaters. Born in a family of dog eaters doesn't mean they remain dog eaters. But we don't condemn people just because of their birth. In the same way, just because they're born in the holy Dham doesn't mean that they're all pure devotees. But we have to see their activities, we have to see their consciousness. As I said, you know, all the people living in like Jagannath Puri, they all have four-armed forms. But we know there's a lot of people living in Jagannath Puri, you eat fish, a lot of fish all the time. Does, you know, does that mean they still have a four-armed form when they're eating fish all the time? I don't think so. But these descriptions are there, they're glorifying the Dham, help us to understand and appreciate the importance of the Dham and the value of living in the Dham, the good fortune of living in the Dham. You know, just because they're very attached to living in these holy places, not ordinary souls. Even though they may appear to be engaged in mundane activities or even sinful activities, but still they're not ordinary. They're not ordinary souls in any way. It's difficult to know what is their actual position.
Is it according to your consciousness, they might be staying in town, but not really thinking about Krishna?
Yeah, but. You know, because they're staying in the Dham, they have a lot of consciousness, they have so much consciousness of the Lord. Just like in Jagannath Puri, you know, people are very conscious of Lord Jagannath. Everybody's so conscious of Lord Jagannath. And everybody in Dwarka, they're so conscious of Dwarkadish. You know, they love Dwarkadish so much. You know, it's just such a difference between ordinary places and people who are living in these dhams. You know, even the rickshaw wallahs and even the, you know, the ordinary, just very ordinary people engaged in mundane sick things, but they have so much attachment to the Lord. They have so much respect and love for the Lord. Even though they may not go to see the Lord so often or do so much worship themselves or something, but still they have that love, you know, they just have that very strong identification and attachment for the Lord. And you see that in Jagannath Puri, you know, how much everybody loves Jagannath, you know, Jagannath's everywhere. You know, it's such a difference, like, you know, people go to, in England, you know, everybody has a football team, you know, and they have their football team, and they're really attached to their football team. But in the Holy Dham, everybody's just attached to the Lord, you know. In Puri, they're attached to Jagannath. In Dwarka, they're attached to Dwarkadish, you know. In Vrindavan, everybody's got some different, you know, form of Krishna. They're different, but attached form of the Lord. There, either Govindaji or something, Bhakti Bihari or something, you know. It's just such a whole different, you know, it's night and day. These people in the Dham are just so fortunate, and they just have that natural love for the holy name, the kirtan, and prasadam, and all of these things, you know. And for them, you know, the Lord's festivals, you know, they could never imagine, they would never, you know, they know about all of these things, you know, it's just part of their life. You know, they just live it every day, the glorifying the Lord. So, it's such a great fortune for people to be born in these places. you know, even little children from the beginning of their life, you know, all they know, you know, they're just hearing all the time. All they hear all the songs, Krishna, mantra and everything. See sadhus and everything. So such a great fortune. So Rupa Goswami, you know, he says five things are very valuable for devotional service and can help you to a little attachment for any one of these five things can help you very quickly to get success in devotional service. And one of them is to live in the holy Dharma. It's a very great fortune to be in a holy Dharma. And some people, we see how devotees, you know, they get so attached to living in the holy Dharma. They never want to leave it. But Prabhupada told us we have to think how to give the holy Dharma to others. He said that is compassion. Not to just enjoy the Dharma for yourself, but to give it to others. And to serve the Dharma also. If you want to live in the Dharma, then we should serve in the Dharma, to do service there. To sweep the roads, plant trees, to do some service there, serve the Dhambasis, these different things. So you see our devotees are doing things like that. They have a, you know, Sandipani Muni school there for the Brijbasi children. Radhanath Maharaj does his eye camp. They do this, Radhanath devotees, they go there, they do a big eye camp in Braja. You know, different things like this. This is serving the Dhamma. Serving the Dhamma and serving the residents of the Dhamma. Serving the cows in the Dhamma. Kurmarup Prabhu's got his program, taking care of all the sick cows. All of this is all serving the holy Dhamma. Very nice service. Here we can give the holy Dhamma to others. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.